You may turn in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy. I am not a great, I'm not a great preacher, but I'm certainly not a great preacher when it comes to preaching on holidays. These holidays throw me for a loop, trying to coincide with that. But I do want to take a thought this morning out of Deuteronomy chapter number 8, and we won't be dealing exactly with Memorial Day, but the thought of it. When you think about memorial, it's almost in the word in our English language, memorial, memory. It's to remember, to pause and take memory of. The Bible has a lot to say about memorials. There were many memorials set up in the Word of God. And remember Joshua, they laid those stones there to be a memorial so that generations that would go on after them would be able to see those stones, and there would be a memorial there that they would stop and pause and to be intrigued and to memorialize and to bring to memory all that God had done for them. And I've said some already about the great price that our men and women have paid for us. No greater sacrifice as an American, no greater sacrifice can be equated than that a man or a woman would lay down his life for our freedom and for our liberty. The Bible says no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. But I want to up the stakes on that. I agree with that, by the way. But I want to amplify that to the highest degree. There was one man who, out of love and for love, matter of fact, he is love. He laid down his life. He gave his life. He let them shed his blood that we truly could be free and have the liberty and have a home in heaven, have our sins forgiven. And I want to preach just for a few minutes on the subject. It's found right in our text, Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse number 10. The Bible says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." Now, on Memorial Day, that'd be a good verse for Memorial Day right there if we just stop reading. A lot of eating and a lot of thanking God for the land that we got. But the verse goes on to say, that thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Verse 11, beware, and this sort of ties into what I was talking about at the very beginning of the service. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when the herds and the flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. I want to preach just for a few minutes on the subject, beware lest thou forget God. Amen. Number one this morning, if you look back at verse 11, the Bible said, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. I want you to turn back just a chapter or two. It should just be a page over in chapter number 6. Chapter number 6, verse number 4, the Bible said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. One Lord. Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I want to say, number one, we need to beware lest we forget that God, His great... Listen, we don't need to forget that God in His great sovereignty. God, when it said capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it's not talking about your master. It's not talking about a little O, L-O-R-D, your boss man. It's not talking about that at all. It's talking about Jehovah God. It's talking about sovereign God. And it would do us all good this morning to be reminded, lest we forget. And I throw out, when I walk up and when I'm soul winning and knocking on doors, and I see a sign that says, beware of dog. Trust me, friend, I beware. You say, what do? I pray God sends an angel to witness to them people. No. Don't the Bible say something about dust your feet off and go to the next? No, I'm kidding. But we should beware lest we forget His great sovereignty. This is speaking of none other than the Lord, God Jehovah, the great God, the authority. Hold, that word authority, that word sovereignty means that He holds the position of the ruler. He is reigning. He is independent of and all by Himself. He needs no help from any other. He's the sovereign God of the universe. He's self-sustaining. He's excellent. He's superior. He answers to nobody. Nobody promotes Him, nor needs to. Nobody votes Him in, and nobody can vote Him out. He's sovereign. He's the God of heaven and in earth. He holds the highest position. Nobody outranks Him. He's sovereign. He's superior. He's above all others. He's seated on the throne in heaven. Nobody started Him, yet He started everything. He's sovereign God. He answers to nobody, yet everyone will give an answer to Him. Beware lest we forget God when it comes to His great sovereignty. This world and Hollywood, they would try to paint God out to be some hippie, anemic-looking little sissified, 80-pound, soaking wet, long-haired, tie-dyed wearing shirt, just some little weakling of a man. I want to tell you this morning, the God of the Bible is not some anemic, weak God. No, my friend. He's the God who sits high above the heaven. He's the God who encompasses the earth. He's the high and lofty one. He's the God who spoke the worlds into existence. On our Wednesday night lessons, as we are teaching and preaching through the book of continue, being a disciple and continue, we were talking about just getting to know God. That's lesson number two. And we need to get to know God again and put Him in the right perspective and in the right place. He's the sovereign God of the universe. Yes, He's the loving God. Yes, He's fairer than 10,000 to my soul. Yes, He's a merciful God. Yes, I'm telling you, He's the lily of the valley. Yes, He's merciful. Yes, He's gracious. Yes, He's love. But I want to tell you something. He's not a God to be trifled with. He's the sovereign, thrice holy God. And we need to beware lest we forget who God is.
Amen.
Amen. We must keep the right perception of who God is and have the right understanding of who God truly is. The Catholic Church has done a great job at peddling and pushing crosses. And I have nothing against a cross. We have one there. Paul said a lot about the cross. But the world, and especially religion, and especially in the Catholic Church, they push and tell them, people, you need to have crosses. You need to have crosses. And they always have Jesus on a crucifix. I'm here to remind you this morning, Jesus did die on a cross. The Lamb of God, the only begotten, that one, Brother Ned, that when John the Baptist was preaching, repent, repent, turn from your wicked way. And they got saved, and he had a multitude down there at the Jordan River, and he was baptizing. I remember reading in the scripture when he turned and saw, said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world."
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, he was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Yes, he did set his face like a flint, Brother Donnie, and head toward bloody Calvary. And there he hung. But it's 2019, and he ain't been on a cross in over 2,000 years. And I'm glad to report to you, bless God, he did die on a cross, but he will never return to one. He'll never bear another cross. He bore his first and his last. I'm telling you, he let his own creation nail spikes into his hands and into his feet and put a spear in his side, a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him and they ridiculed him. They spat in his face. Yes, he did die. And just to sum all that up and say this and move on, the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, but am alive forevermore." And he did die on the cross. But I'm going to tell you something. He's not on the cross.
Hallelujah.
That ain't the right perception you need to have of him. When you picture Jesus, don't picture him on a crucifix. I wouldn't even advise you to wear a cross on your neck. It's got him crucified on that cross. Because that's giving a wrong impression of who Jesus is. See, the world's trying to paint him, and religion's trying to paint him as being this weak, beaten, bloody man that the world overcome. But if you read the account in the book of the Revelation, God tells us what he looks like. It's in stark contrast to what he looked like on bloody Calvary. When John saw him over there in the book of the Revelation, he said he had white hair. He said his voice was as many waters. He said that he had feet of brass, that he had a sword protruding out of his mouth, the Word of God. I'm telling you, Jesus is alive and well and powerful, and he's not weak. He came the first time as a lamb, but he's coming the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And I'm telling you, he's alive this morning. He's in power. He's the sovereign God of this universe. And right now, as we sit here in church this morning, he's seated at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Sovereign, strong God. We need to beware lest we forget who he is.
Amen.
Amen. Not only should we be beware lest we forget His sovereign, the God that's sovereign, but we need to beware lest we forget His gracious salvation. Amen. Verse 14, the Bible says, "Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Beware lest you forget this morning. You're not in bondage any longer. Beware lest you forget, and I forget this morning. I no longer live in the chains of sin. He set, as that old song says, He set me free. Yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Listen to me, I'm telling you who the Son set free. He's free indeed. Thank God, we're reading in the Old Testament, but it was giving us an ensample of things to come. And just as those Israelites marched out of Pharaoh's camp, marched out of Israel, it was a picture and a type that we have been set free, just like the Israelites was. Hey, listen, God had power to pull back Pharaoh and his armies and to split that Red Sea. And no, it ain't a coincidence that that sea, out of all the seas in the world, all the waters in the world, that sovereign God who holds all the waters of the world in the hollow of His hand, He just happened to let that sea be called the Red Sea. Because you got to go through the Red Sea if you ever want to get saved. Set free. Beware lest I forget this God who's sovereign. Beware lest we forget His gracious salvation. Verse 15 said, "Who led them through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint." There's a whole lot I was lacking when I was lost. There's a whole lot of scorpions and snakes and all kind of wicked things that I had no power over. And you talking about thirsty. Oh, I was thirsty in a dry and barren land. And no matter what I'd put to my mouth, I just couldn't find anything to quench that thirst. Because just like we're learning on Wednesday night, as we learn who God is, Brother Ned, you remember I was teaching Wednesday night and I said God created us to have a desire to want to know Him, to get to know Him. God created us. God made us that we would have a thirst and a hunger and a desire to find out who God is.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes. And there ain't but one drink that will sustain and quench that thirst that God put in every human being. And that's the lovely Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes, sir.
If any man thirsts, let him come.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. We see sin's corruption, slavery's control. I'm talking about a gracious salvation. You remember what it was like to be under sin's corruption? Remember when you didn't have any power over sin? My goodness, sin corrupted us all. Slavery's control. You remember how sin, look, this is the nature of sin. I'm going to say this and move on because I ain't got time to preach on it. But this is not just to me, but this is to everybody in this room and everybody out of this room who'll be listening by CD or your family member, my family member, your child, my children. You may be intrigued by sin up front, and you may think you got sin in your hand. And you may think that you got it whooped and you can handle it. But I'm going to tell you something. You do not have sin. And you don't handle sin long until sin has and handles you. Amen. Well, sin's corruption. Slavery's control. Oh, ain't you glad that you're no longer under the condemnation of God and you're no longer of your father, the devil. Hallelujah. I got a heavenly Father. And I'm not under bondage. I'm not under some mean, cruel control. I have a wonderful Father who leads me and feeds me and sustains me and takes care of me. I'm not under slavery's control or sin's corruption. We're talking about how we need to beware to never forget His gracious salvation. Not only sin's corruption and slavery's control, but What about that struggling conflict? You know, as those children of Israel, even after they got out, it's right here in the text, even after they got saved and got in the wilderness, you know what one of the number one problems they had over and over and over? Constantly. And it's a big problem. They run out of water. Now, you can make it. I think I've seen where somebody made it 13 or 14 days without food recently. And they found them and they was living. You ain't gonna make it 14 days without water. Are you listening? I'm saying they was constantly struggling with conflict. And they needed water. And ain't you glad? Ain't you glad? God can take something that looks hard as a rock and make water gush out of it. I don't know what you're facing this morning. You may be saved, wandering in a wilderness, thinking God's forgot about you. You're in a dry and thirsty land. Feel like you've been walking in circles and it feels like it's just one conflict after another after another. Could I remind you this morning about His great salvation? He didn't save you this morning just to leave you wandering in a wilderness. He saved you that He would sustain you. He never called me or you to go anywhere that He wouldn't provide your every need. Amen. Hallelujah. Beware lest we forget His great salvation. Beware lest we forget the God that's sovereign. In bondage in Egypt, remember what it was like before He saved you. Remember that? Salvation changed everything. Saved from sin, saved from self, and saved from Satan. Amen. That's shouting ground right there. I couldn't save myself from hell if I wanted to. I couldn't save myself for heaven if I wanted to. The best I had was filthy rags. I couldn't pay that debt that had to be paid, and neither could you. I was guilty before God, and I owed a debt that I could not pay. But praise God, He paid a debt He did not owe. Beware lest we forget God. Beware lest we forget His great salvation. Amen. I'm saved by God's grace, and I'm going to choose purposefully not to forget that glorious fact. Amen. Number three, beware lest we forget His generous supply. Verse 15, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. Verse 15 gives us a list of things. Constant protection. I'm talking about a generous supply. Beware lest we forget this generous supply. You're going to face problems after you've been saved. But just keep in mind, God's got a generous supply. Beware lest we forget when the devil's accusing us and accusing God to us, saying, how would God let you get in this awful situation? I mean, if He loved you, hey, about that time, if you don't forget God and you praise Him and you say, Lord, I'm going to bless Your name. I know You brought me out of Egypt to save my soul. You're the sovereign God of heaven, and You promised me that You'd supply all my needs according to Your riches in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to tap into that generous supply. Verse 15, He's got a constant protection over you and over me. As His children, He's promised to take care of us. Ain't no telling how many. Ain't no telling how many trucks was about this far from hitting you, and God just bumped it over just enough. You never even probably seen it. Ain't no telling with my driving how many times God has just moved me on up the road to get me where I was going. Cause His generous supply of grace. Ain't no telling how many times God's generous supply, that constant protection, kept your heart beating when it should have skipped a beat. Amen. I've been at the hospital three or four times this week making visits, just amazed at the goodness of God. You say, what do you mean, preacher? All them people sick? And listen, God's been good to us. You could very well be in the hospital or a graveyard as well as myself, but God's. I mean things that would take us out. Scorpions, serpents, thirst. Things that could take us out, but God's generous supply, His constant protection, His continuous provision, His capable power. Verse 17, verse 6, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and might of mine hath gotten me this wealth. Listen, if you got a bunch of money in the bank account, you got a thriving business, you got a job that, boy, you get up and go to every day, thank God for it. But I'm here to tell you, it ain't your wealth, it ain't your health. It's on loan from God. I'm talking about a generous God. I'm talking about a generous supply. Beware lest we forget God's generous supply. You don't have to be healthy tomorrow. It could be your number tomorrow. I was talking to Tommy a few weeks ago. I told him, I said, I want the church to meet this great man of God. I want him to come preach our missions conference. He's got a heart for missions as big as the world. But he's one of God's choice servants. I mean, he's been faithful way longer than I've been alive. One of God's giants. By the way, I started preaching this morning on the subject, who's going to fill their shoes? Because we are losing giants, Mama. They're leaving. Preacher Kerrigan is in heaven. Dr. Harold B. Seitler is in heaven. Men like J. Harold Smith's in heaven. Hey, I could go on and on and on. I'm just saying. But I was telling Tommy, I said, you ever heard of Dr. Stennett Ballew? He's God's man. And I was going to call him. Brother Rackley called me and said, Brother Rochester, I could hear it in his voice. Something was up. He said, you heard about Brother Ballew? You heard about Brother Ballew? I said, no, what? What? He said, it ain't looking good. He said, they don't know what's wrong with him. He probably ain't going to make it. He's only eating 15 to 20 bites of food a day. This is last week. He said he went from overnight being healthy to eating 15 to 20 bites of food a day and sleeping 15 hours a day. This is a man who preaches every day of his life all across the country. I got word yesterday or day, may have been day before or early yesterday, stage 4 cancer in every organ in his body. You say, but why? He give his life. He served. He's faithful to the Lord. Listen, that's what I'm telling you. You don't know. Hey, that health you got, the health I got, your number could be next. It's just the grace of God. He hadn't dialed your number. Think about this. The next time your telephone rings, it could be the doctor saying, to me, this would be worse. I know some are drifting off. Hey, I know what time it is. I cut it short on Wednesday nights. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. I mean, you got tomorrow off. Listen, this would be worse on me, Mark. I'm serious. It could be my phone number ringing next, saying, hey, I'm sorry to tell you, but not that I've got some life-threatening illness, but one of them four girls that I'd give anything for. Mr. Rochester, I'm sorry to tell you, but your precious wife, I read about it all the time with friends that I love so dear, and I wonder, Lord, why? As wicked as I've been, how have you been so gracious to me? You better think, hey, beware, lest you forget the gracious goodness of God. Amen. And if he took it all away today, I'd still have to stand and say, he's been good to me. Amen. Constant protection, continuous provision, capable power. I ain't got time to preach all these. Compassionate prosperity. I'm living in a home I never dreamed in a million years I'd ever be able to buy. And I mean, I'm buying it to own my own home for me and my wife. We still walk around pinching each other saying, is this really ours? Are we going to wake up? We was happy and satisfied and settled. In a double-wide trailer, a 30-year-old double-wide trailer, we were at home. You fall through the floor, you fix it, and you keep on living. And I know she didn't care about that, but it didn't bother me none. But I thank the Lord for it. Hey, listen, I thank the Lord for you, church, for helping us. I thank the Lord for God and his favor on our life, for the health and the wealth that he's given to me and my family. I'm telling you, it's amazing. Beware. God help us to beware lest we forget how generous he's been to us. What about this, lastly? And all God's people said, amen. Lastly, That was the best point you had all day, preacher. Lastly, remember the God that's sovereign. Amen. Beware lest we forget the God that's sovereign. Beware lest we forget the gracious salvation. Beware lest we forget His generous supply. Beware lest we forget His godly standard. You can't just go in and enjoy the land without remembering His requirements. God does have some requirements. God does expect us to appreciate and be grateful for that that He's given. That that He's been so generous and good. I mean, that's the least He could expect. Amen. God help us never forget His godly standard. The land without remembering His requirements. We've been on the receiving end of so much. Verse 14, it'll show us our humility. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord, thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. It ought to still humble us. I don't think God ever expects us to get past the point over into the pride zone of feeling like, well, I'm accomplished and I've done it. Hey, we ought to stay humble before God that He's been so good to us. Amen.
Amen.
God help us not to forget to stay humble. God help us not to ever get over the fact and always have it on the forefront of our mind lest we neglect to remember He expects us and requires us to be holy. After all His goodness and grace, and the sovereign God of heaven would share with us so much and save us and supply our needs, it ain't too much to ask for us to be holy, to stay humble. And then in verse 19, in closing, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. You say, God's going to kill me? When it's talking about other gods, you say, I ain't got nothing to worry about. I ain't going to go serve Muhammad or Buddha. That ain't talking about Buddha and Muhammad. That's talking about putting any idols before Him. As good as He's been to us, God help us. Beware lest we forget how good God's been to us when we start loving hobbies and habits and hang-ups and anything that we would put before Him. I leave you with these four things. I'm just going to mention them and we'll be done. Four things we won't be doing at Morningstar Baptist Church because we're not going to forget God. Number one, as good as God's been to us, we're not going contemporary. We're not going to go contemporary. Number two, considering as good as God's been to us, we're not only going to go contemporary, we're not going charismatic. We're not. I know they're taking Baptists off the signs and putting fluorescent lights everywhere and smoke-filled stages and removing the pulpit, but listen, we're not going, having women preachers, and we're not going that way. We're going to stick with the old paths. We're not going contemporary. We're not going charismatic. We're not going to become carnal without it being called out. Amen. Beware lest thou forget. Listen, you ought to be thankful you still go to a church where a preacher will get up and call sin by its first name. Hey, by the way, if you're bold enough to live it, I'm bold enough to preach it. I don't say that arrogantly, but there is authority that comes behind this sacred desk, and it's from God, not me. And I ain't going to get out in your face and tell you, but when I'm preaching the Word of God, I have the God of heaven saying amen. And we're not going to go contemporary. We're not going to go charismatic. And we're not going to put up with carnality. Amen. And we ain't going to be compromising. We're going to keep the mandate. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. Missions is going to stay at the forefront of our church. Amen. We have a mandate. We have a commission. So our mandate, we're not going to compromise on our mandate. We're not going to compromise on our ministry. We're not going to compromise on our modesty.
Amen.
Yeah, I know it's summertime. Some of you girls need to get a little bit longer skirts.
Amen.
When you sit down, hey, It ought to cover yourself. Touch your toes, put your hands in there, and if any of your skin showing, and go back and try it again. I'm telling you, they're getting shorter and shorter. And my girls, they try it too. They try it too. God, hey, that ought not to be an issue. We ought to stand out. Come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Lost people ought to be able to look at you. I can't tell you how we about done. I didn't know I was going to get a snag. I got a bite, Steve. It is summertime, and by the way, this is just extra. Don't cost you a penny. But when you go to the beach, you run around with all them naked people. I ain't talking about a nude beach. I'm talking about the beach. And run around with all them naked people. Listen, just because you ladies wear your undergarments and they fluorescent pink and yellow, they still don't have any more stitching and clothing and covering than what you wear as undergarments under your clothes to work. You wouldn't bust up at work wearing, would you? Hello, Tokyo, y'all out there. For some crazy reason, people think, we'll put colors and pretty designs on it, and that ain't added 1 inch of covering. Matter of fact, it draws more attention. Well, I know that went over like a lead balloon. I didn't come this morning to be your friend. I come to preach to you. It's still right to be modest. It's still right to be modest. You say, well, how do I know if it's drawing attention to you? If it's drawing attention to your body, it's immodest. I'll just leave that right there. We're not going to compromise when it comes to our mandate, our ministry, our modesty, our marriage. Amen. We're not going to compromise when it comes to our manual.
Amen.
Amen. Beware lest thou forget. Hey, we're not going to forget. We're not compromising on the manual. This King James Bible. Amen. I just told you four things we won't be forgetting. I'm going to tell you four things our church will be. Christ-likeness. We're not going to forget to be Christ-like. We're not going to forget to be to seek converts, to try to win them. We're not going to forget to have character. I mean, that inner man, integrity. Amen. Our church ought to be full of men of integrity, women of integrity, character. You know what character is? Character's what you are when nobody's looking, when you know you ain't going to get caught. That's who you are. That's character. Amen. Beware lest thou forget. We're not forget to sacrifice, surrender, serve, be committed to our church, paying the price, praying the price. Anything good costs something. Amen. Beware lest thou forget. Hey, listen. I hope you have a happy Memorial Day. I hope you go to the lake or wherever you go to the swimming pool. I hope you'll be modest. Amen. It ain't gonna kill you to put a just like when y'all say what? I've had several ladies ask me that's been saved. Well, what am I supposed to wear? A dark colored shirt. I mean, it's just common sense. Just a dark colored shirt. Well, just use your imagination. It ain't hard. Why dark? Because you're gonna get wet. And what I say modesty is, don't draw attention to your body. And by the way, I let all you young boys and men and us men. Off, I dealt with all these ladies, and some of them mad at me. So let me get on you boys. Us boys. One of the godliest women I've ever known, Miss Pearl Hughes. Any of y'all know Earl Hughes, Pearl Hughes? Godly woman. I mean a godly woman. Hey, I was roofing houses with Doug Jett. Worked for him in the summers. And I was up on the mill hill, right above Quitman Maxine's house. And I was up on top of that house. I done roof for couple of summers, shirt off, no big deal. Well, Miss Pearl Hughes seen me at the church, say that I was a stand up. I got saved, baptized, Brown's Chapel, and she come around that corner. It hadn't been maybe a couple of months. Brother Ned, I had a load of shingles on my shoulder going up, and I come on top of that house, and there Miss Pearl come driving that little old car, and she went past the house. Put her in reverse, backed up. She said, hey, son, didn't you get saved a couple months ago? I said, yes, ma'am, Miss Pearl. She said, Christians wear clothes, boy. I said, hey, why don't y'all throw me my T-shirt? I didn't get mad at Miss Pearl. I just raised that way. Sometimes you pull your shirt off and go, hey, ain't been a time since Miss Pearl told me that, because the Holy Ghost stamped it in my heart. You know what? When I take my girls to a hotel somewhere and they got a swimming pool, you know what I do? Daddy, come swimming with us. Daddy, come swimming with us. I don't really want to. I hate that stinking chlorine. I don't like nothing about it. But I'll do it for the girl. And when I get in, you know what? I put a shirt on. It ain't kill me in the least bit. And it won't kill you. Just be honest. Beware. Hey, you about to go. Let's stand together. We about to go have a good time. Hey, thank a soldier. Thank a vet. Don't forget to thank a vet. Amen. But more than forgetting to thank our soldiers and our military and our police officers, beware lest thou forget God.